Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject Ahkam 1. Book Islamic Law. Teacher Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Nijad. Lesson number 2.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين ولعنت الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله My dear friends, brothers and sisters Before we start, the reason why I read Dua al-Faraj before we start every lesson is that we should always remember the Imam of our time and know that we have an Imam who is in occultation and pray for his reappearance that inshallah we will be blessed by his presence. Now let's continue our lesson. Last class we talked about why we need to get our ahkam, Islamic rulings and laws, do's and don'ts from Allah Ta'ala. We say that he is our creator, he's the one who has created us, and He has not created us for fun, in vain. He has set up a purpose and a goal for our life. And in order for us to reach that goal, He has set up some, you know, rules, or He has given us a plan. That plan, or those rules, we call them Islamic laws. That, you know, they basically help us to reach our goal in life. Before we get into the ahkam, you know, the different cases in Islamic laws, we need to have another introduction to ahkam. And this introduction is about the sources of our ahkam. Where do we get our ahkam from, right? This subject is very important for us to know as the students of Hawza. To begin with, Quran is the main source of our fiqh. As you all know, Allah Ta'ala sent Quran to His Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the book of our religion, Islam. And Quran has the general rulings in it. Quran has different sections. So, some parts of Quran, it talks about the stories of previous nations, previous prophets. Some parts of it talks about akhlaq, morals. Some parts of it talks about aqa'id, Islamic beliefs. But a good part of Quran talks about ahkam, Islamic rulings. It talks about praying, aqimus salah. It talks about zakah. It talks about hajj, sawm, fasting. It talks about different subjects in and different cases of Islamic laws. However, Quran does not go deep into each and every Islamic ruling. And the reason for that is because if Quran wanted to mention each and every case in detail, you would have, at least 20 or 30 volumes of Quran associated with Ahkam. And as you know, Quran is just one volume. I know that Quran says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تَبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ You might have this question in mind that doesn't Quran say, نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تَبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ Oh Prophet, we have sent down this book of Quran to you, which is an explanation or clarification of every single subject. Quran says that this book, you know, this holy book of Quran clarifies everything. It has an explanation for every subject. So how come you claim that the details of our Islamic rulings are not mentioned in Quran. To answer this question, we should know that it is correct that Quran has the, you know, has everything in it. Every type of information in regards to Islamic rulings, aqaid, stories, what happened in the past, what's going to happen in future, in all subjects, in all different, you know, scientific fields, Quran, you know, has explanation for all of them. But for who are those all information apparent and clear for every single person? No, of course. Quran has deeper meanings. Quran has deeper meanings, has inner meanings. And Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are the ones who can understand the inner meanings of Quran. Right? So they are the one, they are the only ones, and the Holy Prophet and the Imams are the only ones who know the inner meanings of the verses in Quran. And so, counting the inner meanings of Quran, yes, Quran has, you know, explanation to everything. But the apparent meaning of Quran that we see and we can understand, you know, as normal human beings, we do not see the details of ahkam in the apparent meanings of Quran. Okay. So, I know that Quran says, لا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. However, they are, keep that in mind, they are the inner meanings of Quran. And we as normal human beings do not have access to those type of information of Quran. Okay, so Quran has the general rulings, general ahkam, universal ahkam, talks about the, you know, prayer, the importance of prayer, the importance of salah, importance of fasting, going to hajj, zakat, and all that, khums. But the details, you know, explaining the details are done by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his own lifetime, he, you know, mentioned a lot of details of our ahkam. For example, he started praying and said, "O people, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray the way that I pray. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way that I am praying. And in another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Quran says, Allah has given a favor to the believers when He sent them a prophet, a messenger amongst them, from them, from themselves. Who has these attributes? This messenger has these attributes. What are they? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتَ. Number one, he reads them the ayat of Quran. Number two, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, he purifies their soul. And number three, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, he teaches them the book. So when the Quran, for example, talks about the importance of salah, when Quran says أَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, the Holy Prophet comes and says, all people, this is how you need to pray. So Quran says أَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam tells people, look, we have five daily prayers. Morning prayer, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. Morning prayer needs to be 2 rak'ah. Dhuhr prayer 4 rak'ah. Asr prayer 4 rak'ah. Maghrib prayer 3 rak'ah. None of these information are in the apparent, you know, are mentioned in the, you know, apparent meanings of Quran. And we do not see these information in Quran. So this is the job of the Holy Prophet to come and explain these things to us. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So the Prophet's job is to teach us the details of the ahkam that are mentioned in Quran. Okay. So, but keep that also in mind. that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only advocated Islam for 23 years. Because when he appointed, when he was basically ordered by Allah Ta'ala to start his prophethood, he was 40 years old. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered by Allah Ta'ala to start his prophethood when he was 40 years old. And he passed away when he was 63 years old. So basically, his prophethood was for only 23 years. Now, 13 years he was in Mecca. When after, you know, he started his prophethood, he was in Mecca for 13 years under pressure of the Meccans, under pressure of the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers. And if you look at the ayahs that were revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in Mecca, most of them talk about aqad. Most of them talk about the basic things of the base of Islam, the columns of Islam, which we mentioned in last class, which are our beliefs, right? And there are very few type of ahkam, you know, ayahs mentioned in the beginning of Islam. Now, when he migrated to Medina, he was there for 10 years, for the last 10 years of his life. He mentioned a lot of ahkam, of course. But also keep that in mind, that when he was in Medina, he was the governor. He was the Khalifa, he was the governor of the Islamic nation. And unfortunately, he had to fight about 80 different battles in his time. And when he was in Medina, basically he was forced into these battles. He was attacked by the idol worshippers or Jews, you know, different groups, and he had to fight back or, you know, defend the Muslims. So, the reason why I mentioned this is that you should know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have basically enough time to mention all the details of our ahkam. Yes, he mentioned a lot of them. He mentioned a lot of our ahkam, but again, there were some things left. Now, who was supposed to tell us these ahkam after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course, as Prophet said to his companions, "Inni tarikun fikum mustaqalain kitab Allah wa itrati, not sunnati, itrati." I leave you with two valuable things. What are they? The Book of Allah, Quran, and itrati, and my Ahlul Bayt, my progeny and the Imams after him, who are the 12 Imams after Prophet Muhammad. These 12 Imams, they had the responsibility of, number one, explaining the ahkam that were not so much clear to the Muslims at the time of Holy Prophet. Number two, also tell the Muslims the ahkam that were left without mentioning at the time of Holy Prophet. Or tell them the new issues or matters that came up that did not even exist at the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also try to maintain and try to help the religion to maintain on the right path. Because a lot of hypocrites there were a lot of hypocrites amongst the Muslims who had the intention of deviating Islam, who had the intention of misleading Muslims. And they wanted to change the Islamic rulings in their own favor. So the responsibility of our Imams was to keep the Islam on the right path so that these ahkam will not be changed. However, this was, as you know, this was not done. And the hypocrites who were living amongst the Muslims, they usurped the position of Khilafah, of government or governing the Muslims from Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, after Prophet Muhammad. Even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously in many cases and many places mentioned, especially in Ghadir Khum, he mentioned that Amirul Mu'minin Ali should be the one after me, the Khalifa and the Imam, the leader after me. Not only in political matters, but also in religious matters and every single subject and matter. Right? Unfortunately, Abu Bakr and Umar, they usurped the position of Khilafah or being the political leader or the leadership of Muslims. So, from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. So what happened was that they, made fake sources of Islam. Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam was supposed to be the main and the original source of our ahkam. However, these people, these hypocrites, they made fake sources of Islam, of Islamic rulings, of Islamic laws. Who are these fake sources? Someone's like Abu Huraira, Ka'b al-Ahbar, Aisha. These people were sitting down and telling people ahkam, unfortunately. However, Allah wanted Amir al-Mu'minin to be in that position. And they tried their best, these fake sources, they tried their best to, number one, refrain people from going to the house of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And number two, to change the Islamic rulings and laws as much as they can. It's interesting to know, as an example, there's a lot to talk about these issues, you know, that's not our subject. And the reason why I'm mentioning these points is to basically know the history behind our fiqh. Where does our fiqh come from? And I'm not going to, you know, go far into these points. However, it's good to know, for example, that in our fiqh, that, you know, in Usul al-Fiqh, principles of jurisprudence, which you will study, inshallah, in later years, you know, later in your house of studies. We have a principle that says that if we have, for example, two narrations that contradict each other, for example, one hadith, I'm just making up an example. For example, one hadith says, pray two rak'ah, morning prayer. The other hadith says, three rak'ah. Right? I'm just making it up. But as an example. Okay? Now, which one should we take? These two hadith contradict each other. Which one should we follow? There are different measurements that are given to us in order to see which one is more authentic than the other. One of these measurements is that we should look and see which one of these two hadith are in accordance to the Sunni fiqh. The one that is in accordance to their fiqh, we should leave it aside. And the one which is opposite of their views, we should take that one and follow that hadith. Come on. Is that because you have some sort of animosity against these people? You have some animosity against the Sunnis? No, that's not the reason. Why? Because the hadith that is in accordance to the Sunni sect, it would be clear for us that that hadith was mentioned by our Imam, for example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. However, it was mentioned in a situation where Imam was in a situation of taqiyya. Those who worked for the Khalifa of the time were sitting in the house of Imam, and Imam was forced to talk in their favor. He was forced to mention the fatwas and the ahkam according to their views. So therefore, Imam, the hadith that Imam said was in accordance to them, because if he didn't say it in that way, he would have been killed. So we leave that hadith aside and we follow the hadith that is contrary to their view. Now, why is this? Imam Salih alayhi salam said to one of his companions, look carefully in this hadith. Imam said, أَتَدْرِي لِمَ أَمَرْتُمْ بِالْأَخْذِ بِخِلَافِ مَا يَقُولُهُ الْعَامَّةِ. Do you know why we command you to take the hadith that is in contrary to the fatwas or the hadith of Amma, of Sunnis? The companion of the Imam said, I don't know. فقال إمام سيف فقال عليه السلام إن عليا عليه السلام لم يكن يدين الله بدين إلا خالف عليه الأمة إلى غيره إرادة لإبطال أمره وكانوا يسألون أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام عن الشيء الذي لا يعلمونه فإذا أفتاهم بشيء جعلوا له ضدا من عند أنفسهم ليلبسوا على الناس. Do you know why? Because at the time of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Prophet Muhammad, when the enemies of Amirul Mu'minin took position, you know, they were governing. Do you know what was happening? These people, these fake sources that I mentioned earlier, they were telling the people exactly the opposite of the views of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. To the extent that even when they didn't know what was the Amir al-Mu'minin's view on a certain issue or a case, they would have come and asked Amir al-Mu'minin, Ya Ali, what is your opinion about, for example, such and such case in Ahkam? And Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam would answer them, right? And they, and these people, these fake sources that I told you about, they would go and tell people exactly the opposite of what Amir al-Mu'minin had said. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, this is why we tell you to leave those, to do not, you know, do not act upon the narrations that are in accordance to the other sect's view, the Sunni sect, the views of the Sunni sect. So as you can see, these fake sources, they were trying hard in order to deviate Islam, to mislead Muslims, to change every single ahkam and Islamic rulings. Until when that was happening, at the time of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Hassan, you know, even when Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam was in, was the governor for 4 years, in those 4 years he had three main battles. He was always fighting. And he, again, he did not have enough time to sit down and tell people the ahkam. Till Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad. You know what happened to Imam Hussein? You know what happened to Imam Sajjad? He was also under pressure by Bani Umayyah, the Umayyad dynasty, until Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Let me tell you this hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, وَكَانَتِ الشِّيعَةَ قَبْلَ أَن يَكُونَ أَبُو جَعْفَرَ وَهُمْ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ مَنَاسِكَ حَجِّهِمْ وَحَلَالِهِمْ وَحَرَامِهِمْ. Imam, do you know what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said? He said, before Imam Baqir, our fifth Imam, the Shias existed. Of course, there were people who believed in Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam as the righteous Khalifa, as someone who came right after the Holy Prophet. There were people who knew Imam Hassan as their holy Imam, and Imam Hussein, and Imam Sajjad. Imam said they were Shias. However, they did not know their ahkam. They didn't know the details of their ahkam. They didn't know the rituals of Hajj. They didn't know their halal or haram. What is halal? What is haram? They didn't know. Because, as I said, the hypocrites after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the power, and they made these fake sources in order to deviate Islam, and basically these Shias who were following the path of Amir al-Mu'minin and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam were not aware of the real ahkam of the religion. حتى كان أبو جعفر حتى كان أبو جعفر ففتح له وبين لهم مناسك حجه. Until the time of Imam Baqir alayhi salam and the time of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, because of a historical point that inshallah I'm going to mention, Imam Baqir alayhi salam started telling people, started telling the Shi'as the ahkam, the real ahkam of our religion. He started telling them, Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Why Imam Baqir alayhi salam was not that much under pressure and he got this opportunity of telling people the ahkam? It was because the Umayyad dynasty was getting weaker and weaker. They were very weak and they did not have a lot of force and a lot of power to, you know, put Imam under pressure. Same thing to, you know, about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So these two Imams, Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they spread the knowledge of Islam. They basically told the Muslims and the Shias the details of our ahkam. رُبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ مَنَاسِكَ حَجَّهُ أَحْلَالِهُ وَحَرَامِهِمْ حَتَّى صَارَ النَّاسِ يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they start spreading the ahkam and the real rulings of Allah Ta'ala to the extent that the scholars of the Sunni sect, they were coming to Imam Baqir alayhi salam and trying to listen to Imam and see what are the real ahkam, because everyone knew, those scholars of course, those who were on the top, they knew that many things had been changed until that point. So anyways, the reason why we mentioned these points in our class today, in our second class, was to get a history of fiqh. Where does our fiqh come from? So of course the main source of our fiqh is Quran, and then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expanded those ahkam that were mentioned in general, you know, in Quran. So he expanded them. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad. However, as I said, they were not given the chance or the opportunity to, you know, sit down and talk about each and every detail of our ahkam completely, because they were under pressure. In the time of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq, you know, these two great imams, they had this opportunity. So after Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, again, the next imams, Imam Qadhi, Imam Rida, they were also under pressure by the Abbasi family, Bani al-Abbas, may Allah curse them all. They again started pressuring, you know, and oppressing our imams. And again, the imams after them, after Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, did not have the opportunity to spread the knowledge of Islam as much as Imam Sadiq and Imam Sadiq did. So until that continued until the occultation of Imam Mahdi. You know, there are many details that needs to be mentioned, many points and many issues and matters about the history of our fiqh. I'm just trying to go very fast to just give you an idea of our, you know, of where does our fiqh come from. So that continued until the occultation of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraju al-sharif. Now, at the time of the imams alayhim as-salam, the special companions, those who were close to the imams alayhim as-salam, they used to come and ask their questions from the imams, right? And sometimes it was very hard for them. For example, at the time of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, one of the Shias who was representative of the Imam Hadi alayhi salam used to go and gather the questions of the Shias who had written their questions on a letter, on a piece of paper. He would put them in a big container that was used as, you know, selling oil. And he would go in the streets trying to show that he is, you know, selling oil, basically, calling out, you know, I'm selling oil, this and that, to mislead the soldiers of the Khalifa of the time. Because Imam Hadi alayhi salam was so much under taqiyah, So these representatives of the imams would get the letters from the Shias, give them to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because no one knew where Imam lived, right? It was a smaller cultation. No one knew Ghibat al-Sughra, no one knew where the Imam lived, except these, you know, these special representatives of the Imam alayhi salam. So they would get the question, go ask the Imam, and give the Shias back their answer. And that's how they had connection with the Imam. However, after Ghibat al-Kubra, in the Ghibat al-Sughra, Imam Zaman, Imam Mahdi, had four representatives. After the fourth one, there was no more representatives appointed, and basically we lost our connection to the beloved Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So how do we get to know our ahkam now? By studying Quran and the ahadith that are left from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now we have run out of time. Inshallah, in next class we will start talking about taqlid, ijtihad, fiqaha, you know, how do our scholars find or come up with their fatwas, and what are their sources. Inshallah, we'll talk about these issues more in detail next class. Let's end up our class with asking Allah Ta'ala for the reappearance of our beloved Imam Al-Mahdi, أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهر.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.